Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Ava.
Hey, Caitlin. How are you doing?
You know how I'm doing. I'm doing well.
I know how you're doing.
I know. We were just talking for like 45 minutes. Now we're starting so late. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Speaking of talking for 45 minutes, I definitely made like a hot cup of tea and I've just spilled it right now and it's cold. We've been talking.
I know. Yeah. We gotta start. So our issue always is, which I feel like we talk about every time, is we talk too much before we start the podcast and it becomes so late. And yeah, we needed to catch up. We had really important things to talk about.
Super key catch-up areas. How are you doing, though? I also, you're back from your road trip with Millie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How was that? I was so jealous of you when I was seeing your Insta stories.
It was so good. It was much needed, and I felt really good. Yeah, we left. We camped a couple nights in, like, kind of like southern west Texas. Texas is so big, it's hard to even, but it was essentially like straight south of where I live.
How far is New Mexico to Texas?
Well, we're on the border, but I mean, Texas is so big. So where I went camping, it was still like about 4.5 or 5 hours away by car. Mm-hmm. But it was so pretty. So in the area where we camped, there's like no light pollution or anything. So it's some of like the best stargazing in the country, but it's like very well known for the good stargazing. So I saw some pretty epic stars. The camping
were
was
there
great.
Any shooting stars?
I did.
What
see
kind of
some
place was it?
Stars.
What? You saw shoot I've not
I
seen
love,
shooting
yeah,
stars in a really long time.
I love seeing shooting stars. It had been a long time since I'd seen one too, so yeah,
it and was, it was like it was, a desert type area. How long were you camping? And was it, yeah?
We just did two nights. Yeah, so we got there. I mean, we had like full days, and then it was about, I don't know if it was then like another 5 hours, because it definitely wasn't like a direct route from me to like the Austin area by camping, but it was worth it. So then it was about like another 5 hours we drove to get to, south of Austin to visit with friends. It was really nice. It was really good to see. I got to see almost everyone, one friend, because I wasn't actually in Austin. I wasn't able to catch up with her. But now that I know that it's pretty close, like it was a very easy drive, I'm definitely
going to
try to get
there
more
often. What do you mean you aren't
actually
in Austin?
So Sarah, who I stayed with, she lives in a town south of Austin. So I was staying with her. We still went into, we went the first night that I got there, into Austin to a brewery. But then the rest of the time we were in, it's like, I don't know, with Austin traffic, it's like 40 minutes from Austin. But it was really fun. We did a lot. It was just, I hadn't seen people in a while. It's called Euland or Kyle. I don't know.
Do I know the Kyle? I think I've been to that town. And even the water place that you were in looked familiar a little bit to me. I was like, have I been there
before? I was like San Marcos, and it's really near. It was very close to where Sarah lived. So, and it was really nice. It's just good to, you know, have a little bit of time to hang out. And then when I went to drive back, I stopped in San Antonio and saw a friend from high school that I hadn't seen in probably 10 years. Yeah, it was really nice. I left for my drive home with like really, like just feeling really good.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. Like, did you plan that in way in advance as well? Like for the,
well, I kind of, I mean, I knew when I eventually made it to Texas that I really wanted to try to catch up with her because it had been so long. And I've been, you know, she's someone that I've like been kind of like watching from afar, like all the awesome stuff she's doing just online, little bits here and there. So it was the whole trip was like a very like good for the soul trip. And then I definitely
like energized and so ready for the world again.
Well, it really made me, I don't know, I definitely like came back like processing a lot of feelings about, you know, like where, you know, places that I want to live or how I want to like navigate like future moves. And I definitely missed a lot of city stuff.
So. Oh, mm-hmm. Did it make you feel like you'd want to consider the pull of a city a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And I missed that energy, you know, and just, there's just a different energy. So yeah, the whole thing, it was really good. It was nice. Millie, of course, had like a grand old time.
How was Millie? Okay, so how does camping work when you're with Millie? I saw Millie inside Millie sleeps in the tent.
Millie sleeps in the tent with me. Just curled up. She's like a little angel.
Oh my days, does she love it? Yeah, how is it traveling with Millie? So I've been super curious, and it's kind of related to what I wanted to talk to you about today. And just like, yeah, because you travel like super solo or like solo with just your dog. I think this is the second road trip you've done with Millie when we're recording the podcast. How does that, how does that play out? How do you even choose are most places also dog friendly? If it's a campsite, do you not need to worry about it? Or is that why you camp a lot?
Yeah, I mean, with Millie, I mean, I guess I camped a lot pre-Millie too, but it is really nice to camp with a dog, especially like camping alone. I definitely like, there's like a safety part of that, which like maybe doesn't make a difference, but I do feel better being with a dog.
It does make a difference. No one messes around. Your dog's a big dog too.
Yeah, but she's so sweet that like, and it's very obvious that she would not protect me at all. But most state campgrounds are always like dog friendly, and then like national forests are dog friendly. A lot of national parks, which is like a separate category, a lot of those like dogs can be in the campground but can't go on a lot of trails. But so when I, when I was in California and we were camping with Arthur, our dog there.
Is that your sister's dog?
No, I mean, it was my ex's dog. Well, like his dog, that kind of shared dog. But we would always go to national forests because it like dogs can go anywhere and be anywhere. But yeah, I mean, Millie is just so easy. She's very easy to camp with. Like, and it's also nice with dogs because everyone comes up and wants to talk to you.
Oh yeah. It's a great way when you're by yourself. It's also a good way of connecting with people.
Yeah, I mean, definitely way more people interact with you with a dog, but also like we were saying, like we're gonna talk about like solo travel and stuff today. And that's something that I think about a lot because I like so much solo traveling just in general. People, for the most part, I would say like overwhelmingly actually, are so nice and always like wanting to talk to you and help you or do whatever. Like I feel like I talk to so many more people when I'm traveling alone, and so many more people are like inviting me to do stuff or like, than if I would be with other people. Like people, you know, they're like very welcoming and nice. And it's been like a really good way to travel.
Yeah. Even without the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So, yeah. That sounds so nice. I want to travel. I really enjoyed it. I remember a couple of years ago when we went to the coast for a couple of weeks with my friends too. Golden Labs, and it was so, it changes the dynamic of travel, the trip so much. Like it's so nice first, it's like a solid piece of home, and then they're also really excited about the adventure. So I feel like you do go and check out a lot more places than you would otherwise.
Yes,
if there's a beach, like you're going on like morning walks and a swim, and it's just like so fun. Did Millie get in the water?
Oh, at the on when we went floating on the
yeah.
No, no, I don't think dogs are allowed to do that, but no, she stayed at Sarah's house when we went to do that.
Is that place like a lake or
it's a just river like a, it's a and sunken... you just it's a river and you just float on it for like 4 hours. It's really cool.
Oh. Do they provide you with the floaty things?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can rent them. Sarah, of course, like had her own. So, but yeah, it's so fun. It was really cool. I kept thinking when I was there, like, what a really cool place to live, to be able to do that just for fun on, you know, on your time off. It was really nice.
I've been thinking a lot about the city pool, which that's like a solid type of city to live in because it's like you still get a lot of nature and outdoorsy mm-hmm. stuff, and it's still like it's still chill, but then has all of the buzz and you have a lot of friends there. So you are with like 5 college friends, which you know, it's like was it 5? Like 4 or 5? And that's really cool. But I've been thinking a lot about like even in Nairobi. Like, Nairobi is probably my favorite city to live in, for sure. But I've also just been like, it's a bit much, though. Like, it's just like, mm-hmm. it would be so nice to be. So the other weekend, I was in a town called Bungoma. I traveled for my friend's wedding. Mm-hmm. And that's more of a rural, it's like upcountry. It's an upcountry town.
Okay. I'm laughing about something unrelated.
I tried to pretend not to catch that.
Anyways, so
please.
It's kind of rural.
So it's a smaller town. Like it's a rural. It's like a rural town. But it was even just being there for, I think it was 2 days, 2.5 days.
Yeah,
it's just like it's so nice. Like 2 seconds away, we had like this picnic in a forest, like this forest in Nairobi or whatever. But it's just. I don't know. It just it felt nice. Like it's fresh air. It's significantly slower. There's a lot more greenery. I like Nairobi as a city because it's a pretty green city. But like it is a solid city. Like mm-hmm. heartland where I live in the city is like kind of right smack in the middle. And I've just been like, okay, something's gotta give. And then this last weekend also. Speaking of travel, I went with like 3 of my girlfriends for just a quick road trip as well to this town that's 3 hours away. It's a 3-hour drive-ish. Mm-hmm. And we just went for one night. And even that, like, and one of my friends who was coming with, she got a new car. So we were going down on the road trip in her car. But she lives out of town. She doesn't live in Nairobi, even though she works here. Mm-hmm. She lives in a town just like on the outskirts of Nairobi. But even like when you go to her house, it's just like, it's so fresh and I'm just like, Abba, you probably need to get the hell out of the city. Like something's got to give, but I don't know the balance of like having things to do and the excitement and the energy that I like, which mm-hmm. I also really feed off of. And also just needing like space for like downtime and a lot more natural beauty is like a tension that's been increasing.
I definitely feel that too. Because I definitely get to the point where I'm like very overwhelmed in a city. But then, you know, I think I'm like not a small town person. I could either do like rural and kind of live in the country, but be in proximity to a city, or live in a city and be like, you know, do the rural thing. But if I'm in a city, I want to be in more like a smaller neighborhood part of a city, not like the anywhere near like the skyscrapers or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I totally get what you're saying, though, because I feel that, too. But there is, like, an energy when there's just that many people around and that it energizes me. And I, like, I like that feeling.
Me too. Have you always, like, traveling also, though, is so energizing. So, like, whatever place you decide to be based off of. I'm glad you got to, like, do a super solid travel. And be able to like connect with old friends and like spend time alone with Millie.
Yeah, that's really how I've been kind of felt drawn to travel lately. It's just like, you know, to see people. I mean, I know it's hard. There are like so many places I would like to go to see people, and some are easier to get to than others. But like Texas, like this was a very easy place for me to get to and have like a good amount of time to you know, see people.
Yeah. Have you always, when did you start traveling like alone? When was, do you remember your first solo trip? Or your first solo trip in years and how that was? I feel like people are always asking me about, you know, and a lot of times there'd be a lot of people who even I don't know well, like people who know me just from Instagram, and whenever mm-hmm. they're like, we girls, women, whenever they're trying to like venture into their first solo trip, I'm like, okay, Abba, how do you do it? What tips would you have? Mm-hmm. Should I worry about being alone? And security, I know, I kept asking you about like where you're camping, like, do you worry about security? I know that's like, that limits some of the places that I consider for traveling. But yeah, I've just gotten really comfortable in it, and I don't really think about it a lot anymore, but a lot of people still do. But I think, Caitlin, you are like 10 years ahead of me.
I feel like you've always traveled alone a lot too. I think like my big, I feel like you have. I guess my big, like I started doing big trips alone when I guess I was 22, or it was when I was like moving out to California. And I decided to take like 3 months to do it. And, so I just, cause I was going to be driving to move out to California, and I decided to just make it a really long road trip and do like work exchange on the way to be able to like stop in places and see cool stuff. And this was like, this was pre-smartphone. I mean, some people may have had smartphones, but like, so I got like really good at like reading maps, and I would pull, you know, to do the planning, I kind of had like a general route that I wanted to do. And I had, that was like my first trip where I did more planning than I would now, you know, more planning ahead. So I had set up like 2 different work exchange programs, like through like a farming work exchange. So I was like, okay, that'll give me an opportunity to stop in a place, like work for a few weeks, and be able to like spend time, like,
I really want to try that. Mm-hmm. I've never done something like that.
It changed so much for me. It became just like such a cool thing and a really cool way to meet people too. So obviously the budget was like, didn't really have a budget at that age. So it was, so I did the work exchange, in a couple places, and then I would couch surf. So I don't know how much people use couch surfing anymore, but it was like a legitimate website. And you would, like, there were people on there, and the whole idea of like the couch surfing community was like, we live in this world where it's like you're supposed to be like scared of everyone and not trust everyone, and everyone's out to get you. You know, that's kind of like the what we're fed, right? And the couch surfing community was just like, no, it's like a community of like, we're inviting you in, like we don't know you, but like you're more than welcome to stay at our house like during our travels. And people had like pictures and reviews, and like it was like a whole bio, you know.
It was like Airbnb, like you're selling yourself as a couch surfer and introducing yourself as a person too. And then you as a traveler also have your blurb. I'm like, that's cool. They shouldn't, maybe couch surf, probably the brand name probably wouldn't be as much of a pool now, but I feel like they should like just redesign it around like solo traveling and how should you like, you know, like pure. Because I feel like especially the generation of couch surfers are now in their late 30s, so they're probably not, you know, what would be the pool
to that experience? But I feel like they still would be. The thing, Abba, is like people were all ages. Like I stayed with people of all ages. Mm-hmm.
So if someone is a couch surfer host, does that mean they probably also, they're probably traveling on couch surf as well?
They probably, I would presume older people
would give up their houses because they're like,
space. Yeah, like a lot of older people were like, I did this when I, you know, like not necessarily through a website then, but I did this, and like people always opened their homes and were so hospitable to me. And it was like a really good experience because at the time, you know, at that age, I think I was like still like I mean, I'm shy, but like I was definitely more shy then. And to like just have to like stop, like you get an address and you've like set up to stay at someone's house. And I would typically arrange this like the day before. I'd like go to McDonald's, use their internet on my laptop, and then arrange to stay somewhere. And then they'd like send you your address. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to drive to whatever new place I'm going to tonight. And I have to like, you know, you're kind of like forced to be more outgoing, which is one thing that I think like traveling alone helped me so much be like more comfortable and outgoing with people, because I'd have to like get to this house, this person that I've never met, and like just like walk in after driving all day or whatever I was doing all day, you know, and just be like, hey. And then
and like, it has to be like an accelerated connection, because now you live in their house.
You're like, you know, then usually, so for me, it would usually be like, I'd spend like, there's like definitely like levels of like how much someone wanted to interact with you. And that was fine. Mm-hmm. But most of the time people were just like so nice, so welcoming. And you'd like spend the night hanging out with them, like cooking dinner with them or, you know, whatever. And then
wholesome.
It was wholesome. And then that's how like the people who I would stay with would be the people who would be like, oh, you're in this area, you got to do this tomorrow or try this or see this. So like I had this whole trip where I didn't like necessarily, I had like general things I wanted to do and see, but then they would tell me all these awesome things to do. And then I would just like go on my way and like with all their recommendations. And it really like changed my whole, like I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do like forever, because it just... people are so welcoming and like literally open their doors for you. And I don't think it would have happened had I not like been traveling by myself and had to, you know, I don't know. I just have found that when I travel alone, like people are just, they're just so like generous with like their, I don't know, like what is it? Like their time, their energy, their space, everything.
Everything. Yeah, and I'm, you know, when you're saying that, I was just thinking back to, I feel like whenever, especially when I travel with someone else, if it's like a one-on-one type travel, so it's like not solo, not like romantic, even with a romantic partner, but like with, I feel like usually with a girlfriend, the thing, I've gotten like a lot of comments around, you know, like the thing, being super comfortable with, I feel like I'm an adventurous person, but I'm not like super duper adventurous. I'm also like naturally pretty shy and very, so I think I'm not a bad bitch. I'm uncomfortable in new situations. I hate introducing myself to new people. I'm always overanalyzing how I'm coming, you know, all that stuff. But like there's like, I've gotten the, when especially when I'm traveling, it's like it's the freest version of me. And I wonder if now, I think I'm thinking of solo travel as only like solo vacation, but I think I was traveling a lot for what is going on? Caitlin is aggressively snapping her fingers.
Burnout.
Stop that right now.
She found a disco ball. So anyway, okay. So the version of you while traveling.
The travel version, because I feel like people are always like, oh my gosh, Papa, you're so adventurous. How come you're comfortable? Like trying all like, but I think it's because, so I've presumed like my solo travel began like in my late 20s. But if I really deep it, I was traveling a lot for work in like my early and mid 20s. And your face. And I'd always extend like another, like if I had to go to another country or another city for work, town for work, I'd always like put like 2 additional days where I'm doing like my own travel. And I think it's around like the openness of everyone being like what you're saying, like the way people handled me whenever I was alone, I think has affected even now when I travel with other people, I navigate travel with the lens of like, that's just like, I trust that, because people always took care of me. There'd be so many times when I'd look back and I'm like, Abba, like you met this person. I remember one time I was in Accra in Ghana and I'd met this guy and he was like, oh my gosh, do you want to like go and meet? Like I have this like old friend, some old man friend. And he wanted to go for, I think,
for, I don't even know, that night was really weird. But I was just like, I just remember later, I was in the middle of this, like, really, it wasn't a slum. And this guy wasn't from a slum, but it was, like, a really, like, dingy location. And we're just sitting with this, like, 60-year-old man having tea and, like, whiskey. It was 11 p.m. and I remember just thinking, nobody knows where I am. I'm with these two random men. I do not know where I am. And I'm like, how did I get it? But it's like, there'd be so many times and it's like, I'm trusting that you're not going to kill me. You're aware that I'm a girl alone in this situation. You've taken the time to, like, drive me here. And this guy was really interesting. Like, it was a really cool. Yeah. I don't know. He was an artist. And so, and there'd be, like, so many situations like that, I think, around, like, my early work travel when I, like, extend and connect with people. Mm-hmm. So, like, since then, I've always just, and it's also why I really like going to the beach. Already the general generosity of people is, like, high, but, like, coastal people are, like, the warmest as well.
Universally, so, like, in the whole world, it's so true. It's because
they have the sound of the ocean and warmth and, like, good food. Like, if you're a hater, you're just, like, you're a bad person. Like, you don't have any reason to not be nice under those conditions. So I think it's why I've also always even felt more drawn to, like, travel alone to the coast. Just the way people hold you, and I feel like older men, especially, like, I always make friends with, like, grandpa adjacent age men will always be like, okay, come here and be my daughter. And, like, I know in Lamu also, there's always people who are trying to give me free food and, like, access to where I can stay. And it's just like, no, this place is not available in Airbnb, but since you're, like, our sister now. And I like the person and the version of myself I discover when I travel, but especially when I'm traveling by myself, I really like the way I connect with people. And I'm always like, whenever I come back to Nairobi, I'm like, I think Ava, you'd have a significantly fuller life if whatever, but my guard is up. I don't know. There's something. If you navigated the world like this, you'd be a lot less stressed and there'd be like a lot more experience. But, like, it's my guard is so up over here. I don't talk to people. I'm just like, bruh, like, this is a big, bad city. Don't make eye contact. Like, it's just like.
No, but what you're saying, that's so true, though, because the version of me that I am, like, when I'm traveling, like, I just feel good. And I am, like, so looking forward to anyone that will talk to me. And people do, you know? It's like, I don't know. I don't know if it's like we're all on the same page, but it's like, When I was traveling in, like, Latin America, I would just, like, meet people, like, on the street when I'm, like, walking around. And they'd be like, come over to dinner, like, with my whole family. And then this one woman who I just met, like, walking around, I ended up, like, she went back. I met her in another city where she was also visiting. She went back to where she lived and she was like, come visit me. And, like, you can, like, meet my family and we'll just, like, I'll show you the whole city. And, like, I did. And I stayed with her for 2 nights. And
I love that.
Like, you know, and it became, I don't know. It's like when you, like, take people up on those, like, you know, they're, again, they're like kindness and generosity in that way. Like, it always, I don't know. For me, it's like, it's just, it always works out, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like any city, it's all usually a city, but any town, city I've ever visited and I'm like pulled to, or even country, I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to live here for, it's always 2 years. I don't think I'm ever willing to commit to any other place for more than 2 years. I'm like, I could do a solid year here. It's always like that thing where it's like, not even the openness of the experience that comes with, like, me allowing myself to be a certain way there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, the spirit of this country is calling to me. But it's just like, it's really just like connection with people. But I remember my co-founder Kagore, actually the trip that we went on that ended up leading to us opening Lava Latte, because we weren't close before. We were just like in the same, like, women's fraternity for, like, accessing education in America.
Yeah.
So she was also part of, like, that women's program. But, like, we went to Senegal together in, like, 2017 or 16 or something. And we were together for, like, 2.5 weeks. So at the end of it, we were also like, the fact that we were not friends before this and we were able to travel in a country that doesn't speak the language we speak and have a great time for, like, over 2 weeks means that we can do pretty much anything. That's like what the beginning of, we're like, we can probably be good friends. We're just like, should we open a business together? And we're like, yeah, we should open a business together.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But I remember this time, so Senegal, there's this, the island, Gorée Island, is kind of the access point, the exit point that, like, slaves were taken out of West Africa, mm-hmm. is, like, on this island in Senegal. It's right at the, by the ocean. And it's this place, it's one of those places that it hasn't, it's almost like it's a national site. Like, it's not adjusted. Even the community that lives there has, like, kind of, they have, like, their own culture separate from the rest of the country. Like, it's kind of a removed, mm-hmm. it's a very, like, removed, yeah. Anyway, so we'd gone to Gorée Island. There was supposed to be, like, this festival, and it's a festival around, like, the, anyway, I just remember there's, like, the final ferry that got out of there is at 7 p.m. And, like, our tour guide, and sometimes it's even just, like, a guide. Like, it's someone who I'm going to meet at some restaurant. And I'm like, okay, can you show me around this place? Well, like, I'm like, let's eat together. And then you can, like, show me what's good. So he'd, like, taken us around. And he was like, why don't, and it's caves. It has, like, caves and, like, there's homes also built in the caves. Oh, my gosh. So there was, okay, there was this one cute guy. So, like, one guy wiped. But it wasn't even, like, weird. Also, he was like, come stay over, like, his mom. He was like, okay, you can stay in, like, my mom's cave. He's like, this is what we're having for dinner today, and da 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 da. And you can, like, we're hanging out, we're gonna hang out with this family. But then the next ferry was going to be, like, at 8 a.m. the next day. And I just remember, like, Abba, you want to stay on this random island in a cave with a random man we met today? Because he said his mom is gonna host us. She's like, I'm not going to be locked in a, like, a cave in Gorée Island for the rest of my life. She was like, I'm going to be locked in a cage and made a sex slave. That's like a girl, every time you travel with her, you need to, like, convince her she's not going to end up as a sex slave if she, like, agrees to do what you're saying. I just remember, like, her running, like, the fairy is, like, the horns are blowing.
No
and she's, like,
way.
Like, she's like, I'm not staying. I have to, like, run after her. But, like, if I had been alone, 100% I would have stayed in that. I would have gone and visited his mom and stayed in the mm-hmm. cave. And that would have probably been like, I mean, it could also probably be a disaster, but I don't think so. I've never had a disaster when I've made any of those decisions that I'm traveling so far.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I'm with you. And I feel like the thing is when people would know, I don't know if you've experienced this too, but like when you tell people that you're traveling alone, or especially like when I was couch surfing and like camping by myself and going to, you know, all these just random places where I just meet someone and then go stay at their house or something. I feel like people were always like, aren't you scared? Like, it's so dangerous, or just, you know, like, and I just think like, yes, like we always have to be like careful, but I think like closing yourself off and thinking that every situation is going to be so dangerous. And so, you know, like you really,
and realistically, we don't live in a crime junkie podcast. Like there's the world, like, is just.
Yeah. And I think like when you travel and when you like actually let people in and you don't have your guard up so much, like you're just like, oh my gosh, like the world, like people are so wonderful and people are so like, are so good and kind. And I, you know, like, I just think we're so hypervigilant. Yes. Like, obviously I understand like, bad things can happen, of course, but that is like not the majority of like what your experience can be, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's kind of what I don't know. And like, I have had like a couple like weird things happen like traveling, but they weren't things that,
like what were things?
Well, well, yeah, well, I mean, one time I like was, maybe I shouldn't talk about this. I don't smoke weed anymore. But one time I got super high when I was couch surfing and I was in a place where someone was telling me that, organs get stolen a lot. And I just got very convinced that my organs were going to get stolen in my sleep. So that was like not, that was like not something that like, that was like me, that was like me smoking too much weed.
And then it's a mixture of like paranoia from the weed and you're alone.
And also being like,
I'm hyper aware.
Yeah. Being like, oh, I'm in the middle of nowhere. I don't have phone service. No one knows where I am. And you know, one of those, like I've had situations where, like that, where I've been like, okay, I should probably be better about telling people exactly where I am, or, you know, like that's, things that you learn like that, like lessons, like, sorry, mom, that you have to hear this, but nothing happened and I was fine. Just a little too high, but, you know, like I, you know, just things that you learn, like be better about telling people where you are.
Yeah, the thing for telling people where you are, I know that's something I've gotten significantly better at. And it was also, again, one of those situations where you have no phone network. And I'm just like, why am I in this place with, like, no phone network? Nobody knows where I am. And then the person who you're with starts being just a touch dodgy, not, like, super dodgy. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, it's dark.
And I feel like you just become then hyper-aware because you're like, oh, well, yeah, I should have told someone where I was.
Exactly. Yeah. But so, I think also for me, I've gotten, you definitely get, I don't know if it's like reading people, but it's that same thing when you're like, your guard is down and you're being open. The kind of people who are also being drawn to you, like what you're saying, when people are like, are you, it's almost like people who realize that you're vulnerable and want to be part of like you being safe and experiencing something good. I feel like it's been very few times when I'm like, okay, whoever I've pulled into my aura net of being alone ends up being weird. And now what I also really like is like Airbnbs. Like sometimes when I'm traveling alone, the Airbnb owner, and someone who lists that, they don't really interact with their customers and they kind of have done so. But they're always like, we'll always end up being besties. Like one of these Airbnb, they was like in town the other day and I just remembered I didn't text him back. And he was like, oh yeah, I'm at your coffee shop. And I'm like, how did you even remember that I said I had this coffee shop in Nairobi? And he just like came and went there with his wife. But it's because it became my hater. We like have breakfast together every morning and I like give you the rundown of all I'm gonna be getting up to. And it's like, that's not your friend. I feel like that feels more like couch surfing, even though I'm not surfing. But I
love that though.
I really enjoy it. And I really enjoyed it also. Honestly, I used to, which this is different because it's, I remember I ran an Airbnb during the pandemic and my landlord took it back. And I used to really like also that same thing when there's like someone, you can just like vibe check. I feel like there's certain people who when they come, it's like, okay, so you're in town alone. Like, I might not hang out with you, but sometimes I do. Like, it's just, like, it's fun, like, letting people know what it is to, like, check out. And then I'm like, okay, this is where I'll be if you want to, like, come and hang out. And then I can, and you can see that it, like, also totally changes the experience of your city. So I'm just like, we don't, it's not a true crime documentary. We should be careful. I think as a woman, definitely you need to have, like, some things that you're considering. Tell people where you are. But more often than not, it's just like, it's not the person who's traveling alone who's going to end up stuffed in the trunk of a car. It's you in your city house, more often than not.
Stop.
Let's be real. I feel so much safer when I'm traveling alone than when I'm at home.
I mean, I do too, honestly. I definitely feel safe and, you know. All that to say,
where do you want to travel? Where are you planning to travel next? What are the places you're planning to go this year?
Well, I don't know that I have any other plans for this year. So I have been wanting to go to Mexico City for like years now. Like pre-COVID was the plan, and COVID happened and traveling stopped. So Mexico City has been like on my list for a very long time. I would really, really like to make it there.
Caitlin, I think you should wait for me. We go to Mexico City together. Did you plan to go to Mexico before the pandemic? That's our trip. I think that's a place I wanted to go the longest as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And even in like my girls trip, it came up again. Are people open to, like, because I'm always like, I'll always list Mexico as in it because I want to go to Mexico City. But it's just like, okay, the people who live in America, I don't know. The flight is a bit hectic. So it would be better if I, like, do an American trip and then do a Mexico City trip. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm coming to America next year. Let's go to Mexico City.
Yeah. Wait, you are? When is your trip?
Yeah. I'm coming. I didn't tell you. I'm coming to America next year. I'm coming to America next year to go, and I'm going to go on like a skater rink tour with my sister-in-law, Chelsea. You want to come?
Yeah. Okay, then you froze. I can't believe I didn't know this. I'm so excited. Well, you're always welcome to come stay here. And
I'm going to visit you for sure.
I can meet you other places too. I can't wait. I can't wait to see you. It's been a long time.
It's been so long. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm coming next year. I think this year I want to arrange one trip this year. I'm feeling a little bit tight for cash right now, but I'd like to travel somewhere new for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
but until then,
until then, we'll just talk about it and reminisce about our trips. Okay, well, I want to end this by saying also, I welcome anyone ever to come stay with me, visit with me. I feel like people have always been so hospitable and kind to me, and I've always wondered, like, okay, how do I put that back out there? So just throwing this out there to anyone. You're more than welcome to
come visit Caitlin. Stay with me. The funnest person to be hosted by.
I mean, I don't know that I'd go that far, but anyone's welcome and I'll try to make you feel welcome. But all right. Well, see you in Mexico City then.
See you in Mexico City, Caitlin. Oh my gosh, I'll send you an Excel sheet so soon.
Oh yeah, that's the way you plan. So we'll share our, what is it? Google Drive, Google, what is it called?
Sheet?
Google Sheet? Whatever Google it is, where we can both type on the doc.
It's a sheet, Google Doc. Excel is Google a live doc. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Julia, okay. On that note, I guess I'm going to go to bed. But good night. Bye.